all the Israelites, to all the Jews who are listening to this show during the tribulation. Guess what? Well, you don't have to guess. You already know what. You are living in a time that the preterist said didn't exist. You are going through an experience that the preterist said was already past. So now you can see from your vantage point that all the fancy websites claiming that God was done with Israel are so much wasted space, wasted bandwidth. Is that the right term? I don't know. I don't know anything about computers. Wasted, bandwidth, sure. So I want you to do this. If you're listening to my voice during the tribulation, now the letters of Paul are worthless because Paul was a segregated period of time for the nations where God is putting out a different evangel, different gospel besides the one which you learned from Abraham. If you want to understand this completely, I hope that the mechanics are still in place in your day. I hope that you're in the first part of the 3.5 years of the 7 years instead of the second part. Go get the book, The First Idiot in Heaven. It will explain everything to you. If you're listening to me today, my listeners and watchers out there, viewers, I should say, if you don't have this book yet, go get it. But to you Jews, you're going to understand God's program. You're going to see what's happening. Then I want you to go to the series on the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is going to be a big help to you. Go to the book of Hebrews first. If you need clarity on it, I made an audio series. Go to my website, if it still exists, martinzender.com. Go to the new Martin Zender Dan Sheridan show. Never mind about that Sheridan guy. And then, that was a joke, I love Sheridan. And then go to the series on Hebrews. You'll learn a lot there. Now, I want you to know that the writings of Peter and John are going to apply to you now. Forget Paul, it's done, it's history. The body of Christ is no longer on the planet. All right, don't look for us, we're not there. Don't look for me, I'm not on the earth, I'm among the celestials. Because I had a different calling, see? Your calling's for the earth to be the head of the nations and to bring all the nations of the earth under your jurisdiction according to the promises made to your forefather, Abraham. So that's what I want you to know. I'm not here, so don't look for me. So Paul's 13 letters, forget about it. What you need to do is look to Peter's writings and John's writings, because Peter writes about suffering, and you're about to enter into a time of suffering, and I want you to endure to the end. Peter is going to help you. His letters now are coming into full force. Peter, as an apostle, if you noticed, you hardly hear anything about him in the latter part of the book of Acts because he was superseded by Paul. Paul had a different evangel, and the nations became primary attention of God to the point that at the end of Acts 28:28, Paul closes the door on Israel and takes the evangel of the uncircumcision. That's not you, you're circumcised, to the nations. Now, John is also going to have a major play for you here. Peter talks about suffering because Peter was told by our Lord, as you know, to shepherd my flock, shepherd my sheep. And he made Peter repeat it 3 times to undo the 3 times Peter denied him. Peter's ministry of shepherding the sheep is going to come to him posthumously when his letters are appreciated for what they are, which are portals to suffering, how to deal with suffering, how to understand suffering. And then John, what did our Lord say to John? He said to Peter concerning John, what is it to you if this man remains till I come? What did he mean by that? That John was never going to die? No, otherwise John would still be alive. What he meant by that was John was going to see a vision into the coming kingdom. He was going to go into the Lord's day in spirit. So John has to do with your deportment in the kingdom. Read it for a hope and an expectation. It talks about the love of God, the love of God in you. Talks more about, John does, in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Talks more about the love in you. Test the love in you for Christ rather than Christ himself. And then, of course, the book of Revelation is going to explain to you what's happening, and you're listening to this right now. God bless you. Now, for the rest of you, that's to the Jews, and I'm watching the events with great anticipation of your deliverance. Now, I hung out at a street corner in this city of Sao Paulo, Brazil, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, first, you're wondering, I think I'm going to go a little sepia this week. I'm tired of the colors, so I feel like plain. I'm going to go plain. I have a Picasso back here. That's who that is. It's Picasso. And everybody knows that Picasso's work, while interesting and different, was crap. But art is in the eye of the beholder, and beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Now, the statue here is a beautiful thing because this man here, who appears to be in some kind of a reverie, I don't know if you can see the expression on his face, appears as God made him. It's a beautiful thing. Picasso, standing here, he's a pudgy little guy who wears cool shirts, I think, but everybody knows that his work, although different and entertaining and mind-boggling, was crap, and it's only worth what you think it's worth. So if people decide that he's a genius and that his artwork is really different than anything, you know, my kid could do in kindergarten, then people are going to pay millions of dollars for it. But this is a judgment in accord with man's day and not the day of the Lord. So I'm standing at one of my favorite corners in Sao Paulo, and I love this study because I don't know what this series is doing for you. I hope it's doing a lot, but let me tell you what it's doing for me. It's giving me this aerial perspective of everything. Now I'm no longer just seeing the buildings of the city. I'm no longer just watching the people go by. I am now at this beautiful awareness of where I am on God's Aeonian calendar. I realize it's like I'm looking at myself above, way above, and I'm looking at a large calendar, and I realize that I am set up at the tail end of the eon, and that the kingdom is about to come, and that this epic verse, I can't wait to get to it in the unveiling, the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I can't remember what verse that is in Revelation now, but I think it's after the sixth or seventh trumpet, when finally there's a hush in the heavens, and the declaration is made that the kingdoms of this world, and as I was watching the people and looking at the buildings, I felt as if someone could have walked up to me and said, look at these magnificent buildings. Look how tall they are, how solid they are. Look how many of them there are. And they tried to impress Jesus in the same way when they pointed out the temple to him, his disciples. And he said not one stone was going to be left on top of another one. I thought that as I looked at the city around me. I said there's not one stone going to be left on any of these buildings. There's going to be a giant earthquake. There are going to be signs in the heavens. There are going to be a huge meteor falling from the sky, and it's going to wreck everything. And so I was aware of this. Oh, you Jews, sorry, back to the Israelites. Read Jude. Jude is the last letter that takes you into the book of Revelation. It's very well placed in the canon because Jude talks about apostasy. And you Israelites are living in the midst of apostasy. And how do you cope during it? How do you make sure that you're not of the apostates? How do you make sure that you are going to remain alive to go through that epic portal into Aeon 4, or be martyred, be found worthy to be killed for the sake of Christ? Many of you will be killed for the sake of Christ. It means you're found worthy. It means he loves you. It means that, you remember our Lord told Peter about the death by which he would honor his Savior. And Peter and John in the temple, the Sanhedrin, I believe it's Acts chapter 5, rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer. They were beaten by the Sanhedrin to suffer for the sake of the Messiah. You, Jews, Israelites, who are holding on, I exhort you, continue to hold on. Do not love your soul unto death. If you hate your soul now, you're going to save it in the coming eon. Nothing to do with eternal life. It has to do with the pleasures that are going to be yours if you just hang tough and overcome. To those members of the body of Christ listening to me now, this message does not apply to you because you don't have to overcome, because Christ has overcome for you. We're not looking, as John is in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, at your love and your life. We're rather looking at Christ, and we're identifying you with Christ. This is so different from the circumcision writings. They're always presenting Christ to you. Hebrews presents Christ to you. The letters of John are asking you whether you are. It's almost like what would Jesus do? They're like saying, here's the standard, Christ. Where are you in line with this standard? And how you act during the days of tribulation is going to decide, that is, whether you endure or not, whether you overcome, going to decide whether or not your soul is saved in the coming eon, or you have to, quote, wait, that is, you die without entering in the kingdom, and next thing you know, you are at the great white throne. That's how it sounds. That's the noise you're going to hear at the great white throne. So those of you in the body of Christ, you don't have to worry about any of this. It is such a blessed relief to know that you don't have to overcome. You don't have to fear. You don't have to worry about taking the mark or the name or the number of the beast. Mark, name, or number. There's going to be a choice. You can either have the mark, the name, or the number. Which one would you like? Well, the number is 666. I'm going to avoid that. But I'll take the mark, which is probably going to be a cross. If you think I've lost track of where I am, where I left off last week, you're sadly mistaken, because we are going to talk about in detail of the 77s, specifically the 62 and the 7, and then the last 7 of that period. And, oh my gosh, speaking of, you preterists out there who are really screwing yourselves, because you're not going to be of any value to the Jews when they look for some answers as to why they're in the day of indignation, which you said wasn't going to happen. Not only that, but you're of no use now to people, taking away their expectation, taking away their anticipation of the coming kingdom. And I am supposing that members of the body of Christ are not even looking into your sights, because many of them have to do with the kingdom, that the kingdom of God is going to come from within Christians, that suddenly Christians being filled with the Spirit are gradually going to flower into the people God intended them to be. And the kingdom of God will, rather than be a political entity suddenly coming upon the earth, is going to be a gradual period of enlightenment through the avenue of enlightened Christians who are finally doing what Jesus would do, because they have all the stickers on their car, the fish, and they have the WWJD jewelry, and they're finally doing what Jesus always wanted. They're obeying the Ten Commandments, and they're going to bring the kingdom in. That's not how the kingdom comes in. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about a much misunderstood verse about the kingdom. Does it come with observation, or does it not come with observation? That's tomorrow. Plus, launching on the 69 sevens and the last seven, the 77s, will complete the time for Israel to the coming of the kingdom.